Good morning. With the Lord's help, I'd like to look one more time at the book of Jonah. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. We'll read chapter 4, but I'd like to read the last verse of chapter 3 to start. So Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened, when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant, for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" I feel like there should be more to the story, but that's all we're given. Last time we looked, we saw Jonah. He comes to the city of Nineveh. We saw his experience in the belly of the fish. We see him, this beautiful poem that captures some of the feelings of the Lord Jesus. We saw how the Lord references Jonah as a type, that it's a sign, the sign of Jonah, that as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man would be in the heart of the earth. So it's a picture of his death and burial and resurrection. Beautiful, beautiful how the Lord can somehow use this person who is not a good person. He's not in any way characterized in a good light in this story. He is the villain of the story. Yet somehow he can be used to show us a little bit about the Lord Jesus. And that's just the grace of God. And we saw Jonah unwillingly goes to Nineveh. The city is described as being a 3-day journey to walk across from one end to the other. He goes in 1 day's journey. He says one sentence and he leaves. And somehow that sentence is able to create this revival in these people, that they repent and they turn from their ways. Even the king, and it's such a dramatic, this story is told in such a dramatic way. Even the cattle are clothed in sackcloth and ashes. Even the cows repent. That's how dramatic the repentance is. And so we see God sees their works, that they turn from their evil way, and he does not bring the disaster upon them that he had said he would. And we see Jonah is very angry. And this is the chapter that's not in kids' books. So usually in the children's stories, it ends and God saved the city. And then we don't read about anything about how Jonah felt. And so it doesn't really capture the true essence of what this story is about, what this prophecy is about. It's not about forgiveness. It's about grace, and it's about mercy, and it's about compassion. And we see Jonah doesn't have those feelings toward these people. Last time we talked, we talked a little bit about the character of God, and we see Jonah describes God in these first few verses. He talks about He said, I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. And he's quoting a very famous passage from the book of Exodus. And I'd like to look at that a little bit today to just see a little bit about the character of God and why Jonah's mad. And we have that in Exodus chapter 34. So just for a little bit of context, they've already gotten the tables of stone. They've already built the golden calf. They've already broken the covenant agreement they made with God very shortly after, saying, everything you say we will do, they already failed. And we have here now Moses interceded for the people, and we have here that Moses asked to see his glory at the end of chapter 33 of Exodus. And then in chapter 34, the Lord tells him to make two new tablets, and he's going to present himself before him. And so we have here in verse 6 and 7, we'll read that. These are like the most quoted verse in the Bible itself internally, this section. And it's the Lord describing himself. And we have it in verse 6. It says, and the Lord passed before him, that's Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So that's how God describes himself. And I like the first part of it, right? I like that he's compassionate and he's merciful and gracious and long-suffering and he's abounding in goodness and truth and he keeps mercy for thousands and forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. That last section, though, I don't like to think about, right? I think most people don't like to think about that last section. That he by no mere means clears the guilty. He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth. And if a lot of people, if you ask someone who's not a Christian what they think about the God of the Bible, a lot of them will say it seems like he's an angry God. It seems like he's always mad. He's always punishing. He seems like a very stern God. And then you ask them, what do you think about Jesus of the New Testament? He was very kind. He was a good teacher. He had a lot of compassion and mercy. And I don't think they've read the Bible, because the God of the Old Testament is a very forgiving, loving, patient God. He does get angry sometimes, yeah. But also, the Lord Jesus got angry sometimes. And the Lord Jesus said some very harsh things to certain groups of people who were very hypocritical. He had very judgmental things to say. So we tend to think of God as just this this angry, not we necessarily, but a lot of people tend to think of him as this angry person who's just waiting for you to mess up. He's this disapproving father figure. And oftentimes we import our own impressions and thoughts of who God is into the stories as we're reading them. And that's not a healthy way to view the God of the Bible. But this is how God describes himself. And the first one, he says, the Lord, or Yahweh, or Jehovah, God, merciful. So that word merciful, other translations have the word compassionate. It's this disposition of love and kindness and compassion. It's a word that really is used to describe familial feeling. Oftentimes it's the way a parent feels for a child. Most of the time it's used to describe the feeling of God. Probably about 80% of the time this word is used. It's about how God feels to describe God, but it's also used as people oftentimes. The word is also used in the very famous story with the two women who bring the child to Solomon, and they're trying to figure out who the mother is. And Solomon says, divide the child in half and you both get half. And that word, it's used there. The true mother had compassion for her son. She felt deeply for her son. It's interesting, this word merciful or this word compassion, it shares a root with the word for womb. And you kind of get that sense. There's that deep connection a mother has for their child, that womb. And it's just a beautiful thing to think that God has such deep feelings for you and for me. He cares so deeply about us. It's incredible to think the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, cares that deeply about you and about me, the one that people portray as this angry, disapproving figure. We have also that word gracious. Obviously, we know a lot about the grace of God, right? We talk about that often. That grace that's willing to give, even though it's undeserved and unmerited. It's that favor that's just bestowed. That's God's natural disposition, is to be gracious. His natural disposition is to be compassionate. And that's the God we have. It's really, really beautiful. This next one, long-suffering. So interesting. Slow to anger, slow to wrath. That's the character of God. It's actually the opposite of what people think. God is not just naturally angry. He's actually very slow to anger. It's interesting, the actual translation of that word, slow to anger, is God has long nostrils, or is long of nostril. And it's interesting, in the Hebrew, it's just a Hebrew phrase. When people get angry in the Bible, the actual literal translation is their nose burned hot, or their nose got hot. And you can kind of just picture, like in the cartoons and stuff, when someone gets angry and you see the smoke coming out of their nose and their ears and you see the anger. It's similar to that phrase, that God has long nostrils, so it takes a very long time for him to get angry. For his nose to get hot, it takes a very long time. Compared to us, we maybe some of us have shorter nostrils than others in terms of how quickly we get angry, or how long it takes for us to get angry. But it's God takes a long time to get angry. And then he abounds in goodness, or loyal love. He's abundant in loyal love and truth. That word, it's translated very differently in different. It's loyal love, or steadfast love, or goodness. God is just so loving, and it's a love of true loyalty and steadfastness. Like, our English language just can't really capture some of these things, and that's the difficulty with translations and with other. When we're trying to explain some words in other languages, sometimes you have a hard time. But I think the translators really, you see, if you read different translations of some of these adjectives of the Lord, they're all slightly different. They're trying to capture the essence of these words. But God is compassionate. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's abounding in goodness and truth. And then in verse 7, we see, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. The word generation isn't actually in there. It's added by the translations. But the real comparison here is the numbers. So he keeps mercy for thousands, and then he visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children to the third and the fourth. So you see the vast difference, right? He keeps mercy for thousands. You could apply thousands of generations. And he visits the iniquity to the third and the fourth generations. There's a difference, right? And that's a beautiful thing. The wrath of God, it's not something we're usually comfortable talking about. But God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in goodness and truth. He's forgiving. He keeps mercy for thousands, but he doesn't overlook sin. Our God is righteous. He doesn't overlook sin, and he doesn't just clear the guilty. And that's the uncomfortable truth sometimes, that God will bring judgment. He doesn't want to. And this is right after, this is right after they've already failed, right? They've already failed God in the covenant that they promised. Moses had to shatter the stones, the tables of stone. He had to shatter them before he even went down to the camp. They already made a golden calf and were worshiping it. And you feel how much that must have broken his heart, And yet, he's describing himself here. This is really shortly after that event, that he is compassionate and merciful and long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. And he's slow to anger, but he does not just clear the guilty. And so we have that. That's the context that Jonah has here. If we go back to Jonah, it displeased him greatly, and he became angry. And so he's mad, and he prays to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, isn't this what I said when I was back home? This is why I didn't want to come, because I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, and I know that you're slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." He said, "I knew that you were going to forgive them. I knew it, and that's why I didn't want to come." And most of the time in Scripture, when those verses are quoted from Exodus, most of the time it's a positive way. This is one of the few times where it's quoted in a sarcastic, negative way. It's like, "God, I knew what you were like. I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to bring me here, and I knew you were going to forgive these people." And Jonah doesn't feel like these people deserve to be forgiven. He feels like they should be destroyed. And we talked last time about some of the historical things these people did, skinning people alive and putting heads on spikes outside of cities they conquered. These were not kind people. These were harsh people. These were one of the great powers back in that time. And a small country like Israel would be glad if Nineveh was destroyed. And so Jonah's mad. Like, "Lord, it's better if you just let me die than to live to see you forgive these people. I would rather die than you forgive them." And just how out of character for someone who, you know, the context of the story where God's describing himself. His people just failed him in the most blatant way possible. They said, basically, they entered into a covenant. It's almost like a marriage covenant with him. And they immediately make a golden calf and are worshiping that and saying that that's their God that delivered them. How soon after? Their hearts were so fickle. And yet, somehow, God describes himself as willing to forgive for thousands of generations, to keep mercy and to be compassionate and slow to anger. And yet, this person who came from that people, who the Lord had talked to Moses and said, "I'll start over with just you." And Moses had to intercede. And it seems like God wanted him to persuade him. And it didn't seem like it really was that hard for Moses to convince God to be consistent with his character. And so God relented. And you see, even here, God is very easy to turn away from his anger. And even the people of Nineveh knew it. They said, "Who can tell if God will change his mind and turn away his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" And so there's this beautiful thing about God, is that he is so willing to forgive. And he's so willing to change his mind. And that's what makes Jonah mad. And then the Lord says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah doesn't say anything. Jonah doesn't answer. And he just goes. He goes out. He sits at the east side of the city. He makes a little shelter. He sits under it. And he wants to see the city get destroyed. He wants to see what's going to happen. And so the Lord makes a plant. It grows overnight, we find later. It just grows overnight and creates some shade. That's a lot of tree growth for just one night, but it's a miracle. But the Lord prepared this plant. And then Jonah was really grateful that there was this plant to give him shade in the hot sun. And then the next day, God prepares a worm, a little worm that comes and damages the plant so much that it withers. And then God prepares a strong wind and makes the sun just beat on his head, that he grows so tired and weary. And then he wishes to die again. He says, "It's better for me to die than to live." And Jonah's angry about this plant. He's angry God would destroy this plant. And then God says, "Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about this plant?" And Jonah's like, "Yeah, I should be so angry. It's even worth me dying over with my anger with this plant." And the Lord says, you're willing to have pity on this plant. It grew up in a single night. It withered in a single night. And you have more compassion for this plant than for hundreds of thousands of people in this city who don't have any idea about right and wrong. They have no clue, Jonah. They don't know their right hand from their left. And I just looked at my left and said right, and my right and said left. So they don't have any idea about right or wrong, Jonah, and you want to see them die. You want to see them be destroyed. But you're upset about the death of a plant. Says, what's wrong with this picture? And then it's not even... And it's interesting, God also includes the livestock here too. And there's much livestock, Jonah. And I think, to think about the livestock, I think God sees a lot of potential. The livestock, they're used for work. They're used for food. They're used for sacrifices. There's so much potential in this city, Jonah. There's so much here. There's so much potential in these lives. And you just want to see them all destroyed. But a small plant, you care more about that. How selfish. That plant was only helping him. And that's why he cared so much, because it helped him for a day. And how sad that we can be like this, right? What is this story? What's the point of this story? You read the story and you're like, Jonah, what is wrong with you? What is your problem? How can you? Oh, wow, this is pointing at me, isn't it? And the story, are we like this sometimes, where we're so unwilling to forgive, where we're so unwilling to have compassion and mercy? And you think, the Lord was willing to forgive me, right? I know all the awful things I've done, and the Lord was somehow willing to forgive me of everything. Can I forgive someone the one thing they did to me? Some of us will go years and years, decades, without forgiving. And it's sad. But you think there's a short story by C.S. Lewis. It's called The Problem with X. And he's talking about two different people. He says, so you have a problem with this person we'll call X. And yeah, they did this terrible thing and they're a terrible person. And yeah, they're really hard to live with and they're just the worst. But you have to remember that the Lord also has to deal with X, but he also has to deal with you too. And you are just as awful and just as, you can be just as spiteful and terrible. And he still loves both of you unconditionally. And so we can't find that in our hearts to have compassion, to have pity, to be slow to anger, to be willing to forgive. And we learned about forgiveness last time when Brother Bill spoke. Forgiveness, there's not really a limit. You know, the Lord, every sin I've committed, the Lord was still willing to forgive. The Lord still died for on the cross and he paid for it. And there's not a limit to that. Not that I should go on sinning, but that's the depth of his forgiveness. The depth of his grace, the depth of his compassion is boundless. And he is slow to anger. So often we're so quickly ignited to be angry. But we need to be more like our Lord and more like our God. And maybe we should try to show the true character of God to those around us by how we act, how we forgive, how we love. God is not just some angry father figure waiting for us to mess up so that he can punish us. He wants to love and forgive and to have that compassionate. He's so willing to relent. He's so willing to change his mind. He was willing to do it for the people of Nineveh. He's willing to do it for you and for me. And maybe we can show a little bit about the character of God and how we forgive others. Maybe we can close in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you for who you are. It is so wonderful to see that you are so full of compassion and grace and loyal love and kindness. And our God and our Father, we are thankful that you would show those things to us, that you are so willing to forgive. Our God and our Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for your Son who revealed you to us, that you are a Father. And our God and our Father, we're just so grateful for this. We thank you for the book of Jonah. We thank you for the lessons in it. Help us that we would be forgiving, that we would show grace and compassion and mercy to those around us, that we would not be without pity. Our God and our Father, we just ask for grace and help to show the love of God to those around us. We pray for grace this week. Help us as we go to our own homes. Help us with the storm that's coming. Help us as we interact with those around us. We just pray that we would show the love of Christ. We just thank you for this time we could be together, and we just pray that you would bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.